I feel like I'm fixing to die. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that could survive a nuclear holocaust. If only he knew what LSMFT meant. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast once again. The podcast that helps people go from Obamacare to Medicare in fairly short order and hopefully with a smile on their faces by the time it's all over. I am your Medicare expert, Doug Jones. You just heard my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, announce that I am your Medicare expert. He didn't say it, but I think I'm going to be your Medicare expert for all week this week. In fact, it may be all month. We got a new month coming up pretty soon. And so I think I'll just hang around until I'm not needed anymore. And that's going to be a sad day for old people. If Medicare goes away, then we're going to be up the creek without a paddle, as they say. I did have a book that I wrote many years ago, and I now update that book every year. So if you want to learn my thoughts on Medicare, and if you want a precursor to helping you decide exactly how to set things up so that your life in Medicare is comfortable and not scary, then go buy my book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can buy the paperback book that has a red 2021 on the cover. You can buy an Audible book I forgot. They're waiting to review the Audible book to make sure there aren't any nasty poo-poo words in it and to make sure it meets their standards. How long have we been waiting for that? Just about exactly 3 months. Talk about using the Wuhan flu as an excuse to not do anything. My book has been prepared since January 20th, sitting on their desk waiting for its turn to be reviewed. So right now we have a paperback book at Amazon.com. Cost you $8. You can buy a $9 version at BarnesandNoble.com that actually has colored illustrations. And you can buy the ebook, the Kindle version, on Amazon for about $3.80. So I hope that you do that. And then if you have questions, of course, I am always here to help answer your questions. Now, here's a thing that we don't do often enough because I love to hear it and Randy loves to play it, but we forget all the time. So if I could ask Randy to play our 30-second radio spot, I'm going to be quiet and we can all listen carefully. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thanks, Randy. I appreciate that. It's good to hear that. I don't think it ever goes out of style. It'll be with us for a long, long time. Anyway, Randy now has gotten out of his stupor. He has actually made that happen, and so we can maybe get a few syllables out of Randy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing much better now that I've had 2 cups of coffee.
Is 2 ever really enough, or do you go after more? Are you a big-time coffee drinker?
Well, let me describe to you my coffee drinking skill. I get up every morning, used to. Now I use Keurig, okay. So I can do it when I get there. But I used to get up every morning, cook up a 12-cup pot of coffee. Mm-hmm. And I'm also one of these guys, you know how when your mom said, don't leave those beans on your plate because there's starving kids in India?
Actually, my mother said starving kids in China. I'm a few years China. Older than you. And before that, it was France. I don't know how the starving kids got from France to China.
To China. How'd that happen?
I don't know. I never got an explanation on that.
So anyway, I cook up a 12-cup pot of coffee, And because my mom was similar, you know, don't waste anything because there's right. starving kids in China waiting for your coffee.
Right.
I would drink that 12 cups to the bottom of the pot. And if that wasn't enough, I'd go again.
All right. Well, at least you're not like my mother who said, you know, eat everything on your plate and then you wind up with tubby kids. I wasn't really a tubby kid, but that's the danger, I think, when you make your kids eat everything.
Well, I think that's the bottom line as to how there was, you know, a major case of obesity started in the American genre of kids. But I don't think that's totally it. I think the other part of it is they never move. Okay.
Well, now, when I was now they don't.
When I was a kid, I spent all day outside on the ranch, you know, fiddling around, you know where that was going, right?
Yes, I do. And frankly, this is a family podcast.
Fiddling around, either riding my horse, doing something. And bottom line is when I was a kid, and you were probably the same way, I decided I was too skinny and I tried desperately to gain weight and I couldn't do it.
Oh, I didn't even try. We burned up so much energy riding our bikes because we lived in an area that wasn't exactly farm country or ranch country, but rural doesn't do it justice. Everybody had at least 4 acres. So my friend down the road was like a mile down the road. My bike back in the 1950s weighed more than I did. So it was a lot of work just to get to a friend's house. And then of course, what did we do when we got there? Climbing trees, chasing each other around, playing cowboys and Indians, or my friend would get on his bike that weighed more than he did, and we would ride somewhere else. And there was a lot of work involved in being a kid back then.
Well, did you have one of them like 653 pound Schwinn's?
Yes, the first one was a single speed and had coaster brakes, and that was a 24 incher. And when I got older, I think I was 12 or so, 13, I got a 26 inch Swin that had a 3-speed, and that was also heavy, but at least I had 3 different, transmission gears I could use to get that thing moving.
My first Swin was 1-speed, but its big claim to fame was it had this big spring loaded suspension. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember those things. So I was really proud of that. Unfortunately, it weighed 4,000 pounds. Yeah. And with 1-speed, getting it up a hill, I had to develop some legs.
Oh, I know. It was tough. And it felt like wherever you went, it was uphill both ways. By the time you got home, it didn't matter whether it was mostly downhill or mostly uphill. It was exhausting getting anywhere.
That was one of my dad's jokes. He had to run to school every day or walk, obviously. But he said, yeah, I used to walk to school every day of my life, and it's uphill both ways.
Yeah.
And it didn't. What the hell is he talking about? How's that work?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've got a message here. We talked about this yellow piece of paper. It's from Drew McMillan's mother. Now, as you know, Drew McMillan is my Canadian nephew who does all of our podcast episode introductions. His mother, Emily, said she really enjoyed our little comments about Nora McMillan, Drew's new baby girl. And I said, well, don't fall in love with him because she has been superseded. She has been canceled by a new arrival to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, Asher. And Asher Stein is now the light of Margaret's life. And so Emily passed along her congratulations to you and Margaret for having your new grandchild enter stage left or whatever. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you.
That's very kind of her. Thank you so much. But I doubt that Nora is ever going to drop out of the conversation because from what I can tell, based on what Uncle Doug says, she is as cute as a shiny new dime.
Seems like it. Now, she comes from genetically superior stock because not only is Drew McMillan a good-looking young man, but also he picked the pick of the litter. He picked out the sister, the best-looking sister in a family of girls. And so this Nora has, frankly, No way that she can screw it up. She's going to be a heartbreaker, I'm pretty sure.
So what you're telling me, Doug, is when Nora gets into the teenagerhood, that Drew is going to have to put some barbed wire around the house?
What I used to do was I took my long gun collection, which you can see behind me, and,
yes,
and I would clean them next to the door when the young man showed up to pick up our daughter for her dates. So
it puts a certain sense of belief in them when you're sitting there, you know, polishing up your shotgun when they walk in to get your daughter.
Absolutely.
And there was another, you know, for years and years and years, there was a joke on the internet that said, what the father said, I don't know. I can't remember the lead into this joke, but anyway, the bottom line was, you know, one of the things the father should tell the new, you know, boyfriend, if you make my daughter cry, I make you cry.
Oh boy. That's pretty intense. That's pretty intense. Well, my daughter had a boyfriend and, they went to a wedding and, she met another guy there who she liked better than her boyfriend. And then the other guy came to pick her up for a date and he came inside very polite young guy. And, the first thing I'm reminded that I told him, listen, I wouldn't get too comfortable here because our daughter chews guys up and spits them out. And
that's right.
And you're next, you know, obviously. And I said it in a friendly, non-threatening way. And I'll be goddamned if she didn't marry him, for Christ's
sake. Oh, so, my God.
He is now my son-in-law. And every time I see him, I love him to death, but I feel like I have to apologize.
Yeah, because I wouldn't get really comfortable here. Here, I got a roll of tickets. Here, I rip, you know, it's one of those two halfer tickets. You know, you got one and I got the other half. So anyway, yeah, that would be a little bit uncomfortable.
Yep. And so it is, we don't see them very often because they live in California, which is like being in a penitentiary, except they live in Orange County, the same part of California, where they're allowed to do what they want to do because they're not going to be pushed around by some stupid Democrat, although, you know, frankly, it's affected their lives too. But they are we don't see them as frequently as we want to. The last time we were there, we went to visit a recording of the show Mom, which I think is kind of funny. And that was, we got out of there right before they locked the state down. We were lucky to escape and back to Arizona. So anyway.
Oh my God. So you know something, Doug?
What's that?
I'm going to get out my Medicare hammer here.
There you go. I was about to say the same thing. I think you should get your hammer out and threaten me with it. Now, you might have heard this before. I have two piles of paper, and I'm going to let you pick which pile we work from. So that
I want the pile in your right hand.
All right. That's the pile we'll use then. And we'll get rid of the other pile for the time being. And what this pile is a stack of Medicare related articles. It is the kind of thing that, you know, as I'm scanning the internet and I'm looking at all the amounts of money that I've won, if I just click on this link, it'll take me to where I either will have huge winnings or somebody's going to send me an Apple computer free of charge, or my Social Security account has been frozen because of some unexplained criminal activity. So that's, once in a while, I see Medicare related articles and some are worthy of sharing with people. So I've got one here that says, check out these 10 Medicare tips for 2021. You'd think that, you know, I would actually read this article before the beginning of 2021, but I didn't. So today is as good as any. 2020 is coming to an end, it says. This is by Diane Omdahl. She has a website, and she often prints Medicare-related content on the website. She's an expert, but she doesn't sell Medicare insurance. I do sell Medicare insurance, so I don't mind plagiarizing her or copying her articles so that I can read them to you, my clients. Anyway, 2020 is coming to an end. If you're on Medicare, here are some tips to help ensure that you're on the best track for the new year. Number one, check your drug plan's pharmacy network carefully. Two things happen during open enrollment. That's between October 15th and December 7th every year. Two things happen during open enrollment that merit giving some attention to your drug plan's network. One national chain seemed to be out of network in more plans than I had noticed in the past. Before dealing with a pharmacy, confirm that it's in the network. Second, next event had to do with my exercise buddy, Jim. Now, I don't exercise, so this is Diane Omdahl's exercise buddy, Jim. And she said, I shared his story in an earlier post. He discovered that his health system's pharmacy would not be in his drug plan's network in 2021. Figured he should change plans, but in his usual fashion, he procrastinated until early December. Checking the Medicare plan finder, he found that the pharmacy was indeed listed in the plan's network. He confirmed that with both the plan and the pharmacy. We don't know exactly what happened, but it's likely there was some last-minute negotiation. It just emphasizes the point to verify a pharmacy's network status. All right, well, let's say you're a client of mine. This kind of thing that Diane Omdahl just described would never happen to you, because what we do at the Medicare for the Lazy Man, Medicare for the Lazy Man website, basically, is that when I know what your drugs are and when I know where you like to fill your prescriptions, then I plug those into the Medicare website. And basically, it tells me which of the 30 or 35 plans available to you is going to be the cheapest for the following year. And if there's misinformation, that happens occasionally. But for the most part, out of 30 or 35 plans, when I tell you what the three cheapest plans are going to be, you're guaranteed to not spend any more money than you have to during the next year. Now, during the course of the following year, your drugs might change. A doctor might start giving you a different prescription or change the dosage on an existing one. And then you cannot make any changes in your drug plan until the following open enrollment, October 15th of the following year. So it behooves you to choose carefully. And that's where I come in. You can either follow the steps in the book using the screenshots that Randy has added to the book, or you can allow me to do that work for you by filling out my questionnaire. So number two, use preferred pharmacies wherever possible. Yeah, that's going to happen when you go to me to choose your Medicare drug plan for the following year. The best, cheapest plans are all going to be using pharmacies that are preferred for you. So this is really a bunch of stuff that you don't need to worry about. It's designed for people with Medicare Advantage plans. They're the ones who are stuck with a drug benefit when they buy the plan. And then if they find out later that the plan's cost for the drugs that they need is too high, they can't do anything about it. Whereas you, on the other hand, can ask me to scan the government website to find out the cheapest plan in your area, and then you won't have to worry about being stuck with a plan that's connected to your Medicare plan and you can't change out of. So investigate grocery stores in your area to find cost savings on your prescriptions. Check alternative sources for expensive medications. Pay attention to your Medicare Advantage plan's rules. Well, you don't have to worry about that with me, because if you follow my advice, you're never going to get near a Medicare Advantage plan. Double check your Medicare Advantage plan's out-of-pocket limits. Every year brings changes in Medicare Advantage plan's networks, costs, and coverage rules. Now, that's what Diane Omdahl says. This is why I never recommend Medicare Advantage plans to my clients, because every year brings changes. You buy a plan, and during the course of the following year, the odds are high that it's going to change into something you really didn't want to buy. A recent study reported that 57% of Medicare beneficiaries do not review or compare their options annually. In 2021, and frankly, who wants to? I mean, that seems like a really boring, dull way to spend a day, to read all the fine print put out by a Medicare Advantage plan and then to compare it to all the fine print put out by the competing Medicare Advantage plans. Just not a lot of fun there. In 2021, a significant change that many have missed is the increase in the maximum out-of-pocket limit for Medicare Advantage plans. The limit for in-network coverage will increase from $6,700 to $7,550, and for in and out of network combined from $10,000 to $11,300. Now, when I recommend to my clients that they should buy a very inexpensive, high deductible Medicare supplement plan for cheap, cost virtually $50 a month or less in many places. In some places, it's more than $50 a month, but it's never $100 a month. When I suggest to my 65-year-old clients that they purchase a Medicare supplement plan, they freak out. Oh my God, high deductible. I'll go broke if I ever get sick. If I have to go to the hospital, I will probably go broke. And when I tell them how to work out the math, let's take the expensive plan you wanted to have, the Cadillac plan, and let's take that monthly premium and subtract it from the small premium, subtract the small premium for a Medicare, a high deductible Medicare plan. And the difference is the only amount you're at risk. So the typical amount at risk is going to be somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200 a year. And that's only in the event of a really, really bad year where you have a lot of expensive medical treatment. And what does this say? The Medicare Advantage plans have a new limit for coverage that runs from $7,500 a year to $11,300 a year, depending on what kind of plan you have. So I don't know why anybody would freak out about having a $1,000 out-of-pocket limit for a Medicare high deductible plan, Medicare supplement high deductible plan. You're getting much better protection with a Medicare supplement high deductible plan. So then, number seven, open and read any mail that comes from your Medicare Advantage or your drug plan. She keeps talking about Medicare Advantage plans. You don't have to do anything with this list if you're one of my clients that has a Medicare supplement plan. So then she goes on with that admonition. Whether you get your Part D drug coverage through a Medicare Advantage or through a standalone Part D drug plan, there can be changes during the year. For example, the plan may only drop a brand name drug if a generic alternative becomes available. Plans can change or add coverage rules for specific medications. There can be significant changes in a Medicare Advantage plan's network. Hospitals, doctors, and other providers can come and go from a plan's network anytime during the coming year. Medicare has procedures for addressing changes in drug coverage and networks. The first step is that the plan will send a notice explaining what happened and explaining your options. If you don't open the mail, you won't know what's happening, and that could create problems. The way it creates problems is it takes more money out of your pocket. Not just their high out-of-pocket limit, but also their drug copays and the copays for doctors' treatments, the requests that are sometimes refused for seeing specialists. If you have a gatekeeper that is responsible for giving you permission for certain treatments or certain consultations with a specialist, if that permission is not granted, then you will have a plan, a Medicare Advantage plan, that doesn't serve you very well. Let's see, here is number eight. Take action during the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period from January 1st to March 31st. For Medicare Advantage participants who did not pay attention during open enrollment in the fall and now have discovered things about the plan they cannot tolerate, fear not. You have another chance to make things right. Do your research, check out plans on the Medicare Plan Finder, and enroll in a new plan. You can do that once in the first quarter of the year if you screwed up or got stuck with a plan you hate as a result of the last quarter. So what they've done is basically given you 6 months during the year during which you can get out from under the sucky Medicare Advantage plan you have and get into another Medicare Advantage plan. But that plan probably is going to turn sucky over time because doctors will leave, new doctors will come to the plan, the drug rules will change. Maybe your drugs will be taken off the formulary or they'll become more expensive. And this is why I suggest to my clients, don't ever buy a Medicare Advantage plan, get a Medicare supplement plan. Once you have a Medicare supplement plan, the rules don't change. They cannot take away your doctor. Only your doctor can take away your doctor. If your doctor stops accepting Medicare patients, you know, that's something the plan can't do anything about. But if you have a Medicare supplement plan, the plan will never tell you what doctor you can see and what doctor you can't see. And number nine here, don't switch Medicare Advantage plans just to get the Medicare give back benefit. Boy, those plans make a big deal. When you're on Medicare Advantage, you're supposed to continue to pay your Part B premium, even though the government has given your Part B money to the plan. So your Medicare Advantage plan does not really have Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. It just has the plan, but yet you're expected to pay your Part B premium. Well, as a competitive ploy, a lot of plans have started saying, hey, we're going to give you some of that Medicare Part B premium back. Now, the premium this year is $148.50 a month. They never give $148 back. They might give $25 back to you and then talk about it all day long. They might give $50 back to you and call it a give back. We're giving you back the money that you're paying for your Medicare Part B. But in reality, they just pick a number that they can live with their budget and hope that it attracts more clients from their competing plans. And it's just like everything else with these plans. It's not permanent. It may end at any time, and you may find yourself stuck with a plan that you really, really hate because it's a Medicare Advantage plan and they can do anything they want once you're signed up. And they give you 6 months out of the year to go find one you may not hate as much. That never happens with Medicare supplement plans. You are guaranteed not to have the plan change out from under you or what you intended when you first bought it. Let's see. So you don't want the Medicare give back. That's not worth it. Finally, take your place in the coronavirus 19 vaccination line. The government is planning the rollout and distribution of the vaccine. I think that's a little out of date. This was written at the end of 2020. So it's the overall thing here is do not expect to be happy with a Medicare Advantage plan because things can change and things do change frequently. And you're just going to be SOL if you think that Medicare Advantage plan is going to be static and predictable. It just doesn't happen that way. Plus, they've got those big out-of-pocket limits. If you need a lot of treatment, you're going to wind up wishing that you had a high deductible Medicare supplement plan with a limit on your out-of-pocket expenses that you can live with. So that is my Diane Omdahl and my caution for this episode is watch out for that Medicare Advantage plan. So
I have a bit I'd like to add to that.
Well, I'm guessing it starts with a C. Is that
you know, there's a couple things I wanted to mention to the audience. There's a reason that Medicare Advantage plans are called Part C.
Tell us why that reason or what that reason is.
They're worth crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's that part. And then the other thing, did you notice as you were discussing all this Medicare Advantage plan information that there was hives popping out of my face?
Well, I was busy drooling because it was like I was fresh meat in the Medicare Advantage zoo. And I wanted to get the heck out of there. So I wasn't watching you while I was reading this article, but yet I wanted to look elsewhere. My eyeballs did not want to keep staring at the page I was reading.
Okay, so there's a couple. I mean, I am just shocked. When you mentioned the new out-of-pocket limits.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's not an out-of-pocket limit. That's we're not participating at all. It's all out of your pocket.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they can call it protection when they can take up to $11,300 out of your pocket. And, you know, a lot of people don't even read the mail that they get, so they don't know about it. And yet, when I tell somebody that a Medicare, a high deductible Medicare supplement plan will protect you very, very well, and the worst case scenario is maybe $1,200 out of your pocket that you didn't expect, people don't seem to make that correlation. I've got to find a better way to explain the difference between a Medicare Advantage and a Medicare supplement amount at risk.
Well, there's a couple things. You know, I always come up with a nickname for stuff like Medicare Disadvantage
plans.
Yes,
you do. And they're cringing. They all cringe. I've gotten letters from Medicare. Please tell Randy to stop beating us up.
So that now I've got another one.
Lay it on.
It's a new program that just recently got attached to Medicare Disadvantage plan called Hang On to Your Pockets.
That's right. You know, if you can maybe take your wallet and zip it up and then shove it down your pants or something so they don't know where to look for it, that might help protect you.
I mean, I just don't get it, Doug. I mean, you've described multiple times about how your exposure on a, you know, even a high deductible plan is, you know, like $1,200 a year, maybe.
Yeah.
A really bad year with a stiff tailwind in front of you.
Right.
But now this Medicare Disadvantage group is deciding they need a potential $12,000 out of pocket.
Yeah, but first they're going to tell you that you're getting your $150 a month back. They're giving it back to you. Now, they might only be giving you back $25, but they're trying to tell you that they've got the best deal in town, but it's lies. It is lies. When you listen to Joe Namath list all the wonderful things, and these women going, I'm going to get what I deserve. It's lies. It's for people on welfare. When you call that number that Joe Namath is telling you to call, you're going to wind up talking to some guy who's going to tell you, well, we don't really offer all that stuff in your area. However,
That's right.
Here's what you can get in your area, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the best deal you can get.
You can get a free toothbrush. That's the dental care.
Yes, it
and
is.
the free pair of sunglasses, you know, plastic ones.
That's the vision.
That's our eye physician care. And the rest of it, just hang on to your pockets because it's coming out of them.
That's right. That is right. So, but we'll keep preaching. We'll keep pounding that drum until everybody understands that Medicare Advantage is not going to do any good for them for the most part. There are some people that manage to dodge all the bullets, and good for them if they come out without having been harmed. But many people are going to be disappointed with what they've purchased after they've had it for a while.
Well, there's a term that we don't want to use. You know, we would love to use it all the time, but there's a term called no harm, no foul. And unfortunately, that doesn't apply to Medicare Disadvantage plans ever.
Yep. Because as I say in my book, a Medicare Disadvantage plan can be okay until you need it. And if you need it, that's when you're going to find out the shortcomings and the pitfalls of a particular plan. Don't worry, the government gives you 6 months during the year where they say you can go find another piece of garbage Medicare Advantage plan, Part C, as you so aptly describe it.
The part crap?
Oh, yes,
no,
there you go.
I think that's all crap because I think it matches up pretty well with the Obama don't care plan.
Yeah, those two go hand in hand. They're kind of created by the same people. But the reason that the Medicare Advantage plans are promoted by the government is they don't have to have a whole bunch of employees that are looking to draw a pension or that have a government union that costs a bunch of money for the government. Basically, the government just writes a check and hands it to the insurance company for every participant in the Medicare Advantage plan. It's what I told them they should do with Medicare when they started Medicare. Just give the participants a pile of cash and save the overhead. But what they did instead was they created their own little insurance company that has a million employees, and it's just bad planning. But it's the way government types like to do things. You know, hire more employees so I'm even more important because my department has more people working in it. Well, this is what makes Medicare Advantage plans more attractive to the government. They don't need a million employees. All they do is write a check to the insurance company and say, hey, make these people go away. You take care of them. I don't want to.
And guess what?
What?
Most of that check that the government writes to a Medicare disadvantaged carrier,
mm-hmm.
they'd like to keep as much of that as possible, and they try very hard.
Well, of course, they make it very creative. In order to know where the pitfalls are, you got to read the fine print. How many people like to read insurance fine print?
Oh, I sit up all night doing it. It's one of my favorite things.
Well, I don't, and I'm in the insurance business.
Oh my God! So anyway, guess what?
Time to go.
It's time to land the plane. Time to land the plane. Do you hear the landing gear coming down?
Basically, I hear you thinking of crafty ways you can get past the grandmothers to go see your new grandson.
That's right. Yes, I'm going to show up at the door dressed as a UPS man.
They'll have to let you in.
No, really, I have to deliver this personally inside the house.
Yes, it's a headset for little Asher.
That's right. And they are, by the way, they are on the way. We've got a pink one for Nora.
Oh, great.
And a blue one for Asher. And then as soon as they arrive, you know, the respective camps will need to start training as soon as possible, because we need as much help as we can possibly get for announcing and ultimately, you know, sharing the wealth.
Yeah.
Because someday Drew is going to go, you know, I looked at my taxes this year and I just don't see where my income is coming from, especially as related to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast.
Yeah, we love Drew's work, but he's no longer the fair-haired boy. He's going to have to take a back seat to the younger generation coming up and steamrolling over those of us who can't defend ourselves anymore.
That's right. That's right. So the other thing I'd like to point out to you is I did get Bluetooth headsets.
Oh, cool.
So they can run around the house.
Yeah,
and no broadcast cord. And no record and broadcast. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Well, so we need to land the plane. We need to put the all your stuff that you got out of the overhead back in the overhead, because be careful when you open the door, because
items may have shifted.
Items may have shifted. Yeah. And, you know, bottom line is I've never seen anything fall. I've flown a lot of miles.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen anything fall out of there on anybody's head?
Once in a while, I might have to put my hand up to hold it while I've opened the door, but it's never a big deal. I have more trouble putting out, extinguishing my smoking materials.
Yes, yes. Especially since there's no ashtrays and they're welded shut nowadays.
Yeah. Plus, I quit smoking. I wish I had some smoking materials to extinguish.
The other thing, since you are the owner and chief pilot of Medicare for the Lazy Man Air, could you make a suggestion to the company that if someone comes in that's only, you know, like 5 feet tall, four foot 10,
yep.
they're not allowed to, you know, ask everybody within earshot to lift this 75-pound roller bag into the overhead.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Let's suppose that 4 foot 10 or 5 foot tall person is a hot looking babe.
That doesn't apply. This is just for other. This is for guys mostly.
Oh, okay. You know,
yeah.
Good. Good. I can understand that. Very good.
Yeah. We can handle the other just fine.
I'll pass that request along to you then.
Okay. Well.
To them, not to you. To them, I'll pass your suggestion along to them.
That's good, because I think it's worthwhile.
All right.
I think it's very worthwhile. And you know, the other thing is that, you know, when you are trying to lift this 800-pound roller bag into the overhead, and the entrance to the overhead is like 13 inches and the 800-pound roller bag is 26 inches, you know, wide.
Yep.
I don't know how they ever figured they were going to get it in there.
I don't know how the stewardesses, and I'm going to call them stewardesses no matter what they say, I don't know how they let them bring that thing on the plane. Shouldn't somebody stop them at the gate and say, hey, that's too big. It's got to fit into this little thing we have. And it doesn't fit.
That little thing, whatever that little thing is.
Yeah.
That now that they've got that, some airlines go, yeah, see if it'll fit in there. No, it doesn't. Okay, you're out of here. Which that's where they leave the roller bag next to the door where it can easily be stolen on the gate.
Absolutely. On the other hand, who's going to steal a midget's clothes? Only another
that's
midget.
Right. That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But you never know. People have got some weird ideas.
Well, thank you very much for all your help today. I appreciate it. You've worked your acoustical magic again. I can tell there's going to be a good sounding episode.
Thank you very much. And don't forget, we are still offering that special purchase price on Medicare for the Lazy Man books at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Still can't get an audio book. So I'm thinking that we may want to just start offering the possibility of just reading it over the air.
Well, that's always in the background. We can always think about that. But how about if we lower the price? Let's say we give you 5 books for the price of 6 instead of 6 books for the price of 6.
That's right.
Let me send that to the accounting department and have them
work. See how they like that.
Yeah.
See how they like. Yeah, I think it'll work. I think it'll work.
All righty. All right. Well, thank you, Randy, and I'll look forward to seeing you at our next episode.